Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel. Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Casual Friday, and we have a great show planned. My host of the show today is actually Elisa Profumo. How you doing, Elisa?
I've graduated to host.
Yeah, we have to have that intro change. I'm going to have Elliot produce a unique Casual Friday intro that states with Elisa Profumo instead of with Carl Lenore, because I'm kind of like your Ed McMahon.
Yes,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so there you go.
What's new?
I'm doing great. I'm excited about today's show. We have a lot of good things to talk about.
Yes, we do.
So I've had a guest on the show, the guy who cured his own prostate cancer, Eric. Boy, I'm going to forget it. Something Spurger, Rand Spurger. I apologize, Eric. He's become a friend, actually. We text a lot now. He said, and he's a busy guy. He's a real estate attorney. And he said that Casual Friday has made his short list of podcasts to listen to every week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Eric.
Yeah.
It's very,
very
nice.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
So there's an old Yiddish proverb that says, what soap is to the body, laughter is to the soul.
I believe that. Laughter is very good for you.
It is. You said you've done a show about laughter.
We've done shows about laughter a long, long time ago. And I even did a show with a guy named Sebastian Gendry from California, who actually owns a company called Laughter Yoga. You don't do yoga poses. You go in and you actually facilitate hearty laughter. And they teach you how to do it. And the theory is, if you laugh, the same hormones are produced when you're happy. So you don't have to wait for something funny to happen in order to laugh. You can facilitate laughter on your own. It's an interesting concept.
That is interesting. So a good laugh can be compared to a mild workout as it exercises the muscles. I guess maybe when you're laughing, the ab muscles.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Gets the blood flowing, decreases blood pressure and stress hormones, improves sleep patterns, and boosts the immune system. And you've said before in the past that you like to watch shows
that make you laugh
before going to bed.
Especially during the most stressful times of my life, I have made it almost militant about watching something funny before bed at night.
A study out of Johns Hopkins University showed that humor and laughter can also improve memory and mental performance. And I think as we age, that's really important because sometimes you just forget to laugh or you get caught up in life and you just don't laugh.
Well, people, it's amazing that you have to really choose to find the funny things and the good things in life because the bad stuff shows up on its own. You know what I mean? So it needs to be an effort. It really does.
So this is an article out of the Huffington Post, and the author says, don't take life too seriously. That's kind of hard to do if you're trying to pay bills or
you're going to lose your home. You know what's funny? My mother used to say to me, don't take yourself seriously. As one of her bits of wisdom, she said, just don't take yourself too seriously.
Find humor in a bad situation.
I do that regularly.
Remind yourself of funny moments from the past. I like that one. Surround yourself with fun people who like to laugh a lot. I like that one. And get a pet.
Yeah. You know what? Getting a dog isn't a bad idea. The problem is, what do you do when you want to go on vacation? And, you know, you got to make all the plans. You got to do the kennel thing and the shots and Bordetella shots. It's like, I would love to have a dog. And then the wear and tear on your house.
Especially if you have a big dog.
I would only have a big dog. I've had little dogs because I inherited them from my ex-wife. I don't like little dogs. I like big dogs.
I don't know what those little dogs are. You know Victoria, Adalys, and Josh?
Oh, the Pomeranians.
Oh, they are so cute, those little dogs.
My niece Kelly has one. The only problem with Pomeranians, I don't know about Victoria and Josh, their dog, But Kelly's dog yaps constantly. Yap, 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 yap. I would kill it. I would. I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it.
So I posted on Facebook this morning this funny article about, I guess, kids when they were taking tests. They some of the things that they would say if they couldn't answer the questions.
Or they misinterpret or they, the question, right?
Right, yeah. Right, right. So I'm going to read just a couple of them because they are funny. And I sat there, I laughed so hard. I thought, how long has it been since I laughed like this?
I know, that's cool.
What are three things you want to do in the future? And this little boy writes, get a girlfriend, kiss her, and rule the world.
Oh, that's funny. That's a pretty big jump. Get a girlfriend, kiss her, and then rule the world, huh?
Okay, and this one, it says, in which state do the particles show the most movement?
This is hilarious.
And he wrote, or she wrote, California.
For the most movement.
For the most movement.
Right.
In which state do the particles show the least movement? New Jersey.
That's hilarious. So in other words, what they were looking for was solid, liquid, and gas. But,
yes.
But she took it literally and thought, like, which state in the United States?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty funny.
This one says, use commands to tell your sister to do the following things. And the commands are in Spanish. And you're supposed to
translate
from Spanish to English. And this person wrote, I don't have a sister.
That's hilarious.
And the last one I'm going to read is, this is really funny. Draw a picture of what you will look like in 100 years. In 100 years, I will be blank years old. And this little boy, Warren, drew a picture of a tombstone, and it says Warren. And underneath, he wrote, rest in peace.
Well, at least he's right. I mean, what's the chances of Warren living past 100 years old?
Well, hey, I think with the advances today that we can all live to 120 if we start early.
Not if you take some of the dumb advice from the people that we're going to be talking about today on the show. I mean, I spent some time looking at a lot of the stories that you have compiled for today's show, and it's shocking to me. We are actually working on a YouTube video to promote Supium Radio based on the concept that I have been promoting on this show for several years now, which is where you get your information from is critical, you know, to whether or not you live a long, healthy life. And when you read some of this stuff, you think to yourself, what are these people thinking? Like, could they really believe this stuff? And I don't want to give it away, but it's really interesting today. We have some really good stories.
So speaking of kids, I wanted to talk about Angelina Jolie and her kids for a few minutes.
And I'm going to take her back this time. You know, I've always come out against her for doing stupid stuff, right?
Right.
Okay.
So evidently, she is feeding her children bugs.
I got no problem with that.
Oh, neither do I. I mean,
it's better than Twinkies or breakfast cereal or Tang or any of those other crap things that the average person thinks is acceptable to give to their kids.
I guess there was a BBC News this week. She and her children were noshing on tarantulas and scorpions while they were in Cambodia to promote her new project.
So here's the problem with that story, right? They go for the most startling. Tarantulas are poison. Poisonous. Scorpions are what they have to understand is these people have been eating tarantulas and scorpions forever. They know how to devenomize them before they eat them. Those of us who like sushi go in once in a while. I like to get puffer fish. You know what puffer fish is? The fish that blows up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that fish is highly poisonous, but the sushi master knows how to carve that gland out so you don't die. But a little bit of the poison stays in the flesh of the fish, and it tingles the tongue, and it actually causes a euphoric sensation. So what they didn't say, oh, they were probably eating grubs and ants and beetles. Nah, let's go right for the tarantulas and the scorpions, because that'll make her sound like a poor mother.
Well, later in the article, it does say that crickets, you start out with crickets. And you know, people have been eating crickets or chocolate-covered crickets for a long time.
Yeah.
Doesn't Andrew Scarborough eat
I believe he does. Yes, he's put pictures of bugs that he's eaten up on Facebook in the past. Yeah.
So she said, start out with crickets in a beer, and then you move up to tarantulas.
Yeah, I got no problem with it. I think that what she's doing for her children is good.
Well, if nothing else, it's giving them a wide variety of choices of foods for in the future.
Yeah, exactly. So I applaud her for this one.
They eat crickets like a bag of chips.
Mm-hmm.
And also, too, while you're young, you'll try these things.
Right.
But as you age, like, I couldn't see myself eating crickets, but probably when I was younger, I would have done it.
I mean, kids eat boogers when they're young, right? So a cricket is like, hey, that's pretty cool. I'll try that. But when you're older, you've grown out of the booger-eating phase, and you're probably not going to try bugs either. No, you're right.
And they quote a nutritionist who says that bugs can actually be a healthy addition to your diet. In general, insects can be high in protein, about 60 to 70%, low in carbs, and provides vitamins, minerals, and fat.
You know, and about 8 years ago, there was a supplement on the market, which will probably come back again in another few years because that's how they're cyclical, that was derived from a certain hormone that exoskeleton creatures like bugs produce that was supposed to be highly anabolic. And I can't think of the name of it, but back in the day, there was a company that produced a product called Anagen, and it used this. And this is from bugs. There's evidence that eating bugs could actually be anabolic to a certain degree. That's my point. And if bodybuilders knew that, they'd be eating crickets and bugs all day long.
Didn't we talk about, wasn't there a protein powder made from bugs?
Yes.
We talked about that.
Cricket flour.
Okay.
Cricket flour. There is cricket flour right now that you can buy. It just looks like flour. So once it loses the bug shape, it's like, oh, it looks like any other flour.
Now, see, I might try that. But
you would not.
Oh, yes, I would.
Would you really?
I think so.
Okay, let's buy some cricket powder. I want to watch you eat it.
If it's just in powder form, okay, we'll take a video of it.
Make cricket cookies.
Hey, that doesn't sound bad. And the nutritionist also said that to be careful when you do purchase bugs, if you're going to eat them, make sure they're from reliable sources because they do come into contact with pesticides and other chemicals.
Yeah, that is important. That's
very
a good
important.
Yeah. So you want to buy your bugs from places where they don't spray.
And then before we go into the break, I wanted to just talk about this story.
Yes.
Is your gym routine wrecking your sex life?
I read this story and I thought, I guess I'm just not training hard enough yet. I guess I still have more hard. And actually, I have a serious thing to talk about. Go ahead. Mention it.
Researchers out of the University of North Carolina suggested, after their study found that frequent and high-intensity exercise is linked to a low libido. In the study of 1,077 active men ran, walked, biked, swam, or lifted, those who said that they trained at the lowest intensities were nearly seven times as likely to report a normal or high libido than those who trained at the highest levels of intensity. Do you think it's a psychological thing, or do you think
No. This is an evolutionary mechanism kicking in. If the body, we've talked about this before, so this is redundant, right? If the body perceives that the environment is hostile, and the way the body does that is by assessing stress. If the body believes that the environment is hostile, it says, you're hardly able to take care of yourself. We don't need to be bringing offspring into the picture. This is also experienced by women who do severe dieting. Like women who are anorexic, they lose their period. The reason they lose their period is because the body is going into a survival mode, and it says the last thing we want to do is get pregnant right now because we're dying. We don't want to bring a baby into the world, but it will die in our womb. So when the body perceives what it considers extremely threatening stress, it says the environment is hostile. Shut down all the baby-making hardware. Now, for those of us on HRT, we don't get this signal.
Because you're getting the constant
I'm still
hormones.
Getting, my testosterone isn't dependent on the, so my body's confused. I'm training very, very hard, but yet the testosterone stays high. So this is something for those of us out there on HRT to consider. We have to pay attention to other signals that we're overtraining, like poor sleep, rapid heartbeat when you wake up in the middle, fatigue, you know, that you pay attention to that because you're not going to lose your libido.
I asked about the psychological effect because I guess like pro athletes and pro boxers aren't supposed to have sex before the night, before the...
That's a fallacy, but you're right. Yeah.
And then just the whole intensity of how hard they have to train, and you know, they don't watch television, they don't eat dessert. So I just thought, well, maybe sex was part of that whole abstinence thing.
So without giving away names, because I haven't asked him if I could say this, there is a world-class power lifter who broke a record, and the day he broke the record, he had had sex 3 or 4 times that morning. He had a girlfriend who was, manic type girl, and she had a very, very high libido, and they had sex several times, and he went out there and he did his best squats ever. So with that being the case, a lot of trainers used to believe, and listen, when I worked on the racetrack, it was the same way. Horses masturbate. A male horse will drop his, they call it a sheath, he'll drop his penis and slap it against his stomach over and over again to masturbate.
Really?
Yes. And so when we had a horse that was in a race later that afternoon and he'd be in his stall masturbating, the trainer would go, stop him. And you'd go and you'd smack him on the snout. And then, you know, his erection would shrivel up and he would stop. Because the theory was, if you have an orgasm, you're giving up a lot of your life force energy. So now when it comes to the competition, you're getting shortchanged because you just use some of it up. And so that's where that comes from. But there's really no validation. In fact, Bobby Robato was a trainer, the first trainer I ever worked with.
That was a real name, Bobby Robato.
He was Italian. R-I-B-A-D-E-A, Robato, yeah. He was the first one. One day he had a horse that was doing this before a race, and I was about to go smack. He goes, what are you doing? And I said, well, you know, he goes, doesn't that make you feel better when you do it? I said, yeah. He goes, leave him alone. And the horse won the race that day.
Wow.
So, yeah, but that's an old wives' tale.
So, according to this, it says, intense exercise training may spark a condition called exercise hypogonadal male condition, which occurs when the hormone testosterone and luteinizing hormone are suppressed.
And they're suppressed as an evolutionary safety mechanism. The same way a woman who trains too hard stops losing body fat and starts developing irregular periods for the same reason, because the body thinks we're in trouble. Shut down the metabolism, keep the fat, and we can't have babies right now. It's really that simple. It really is. And on that note, I guess we should take a break, unless you want to talk more about it.
No, that's
okay.
Fine.
We've got lots of great stories. Hope you can stay. Woo! I did that last week, too. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Coupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LiveOnLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LiveOnLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Ever feel like you want something
something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I took my shirt off because it's getting hot in here.
It's getting hot in here.
Are you feeling a little tingly right now because I have my shirt off? No? My underarm smell? All right. So what do you want to talk about next, Elisa Profumo?
Well, let's talk about the sell-by dates on foods.
I've never paid attention to them. Never.
You don't pay attention to
Not
them?
Not at all.
I had a...
I use my nose. That tells me if something's ready.
I had a Greek yogurt.
Right.
And it was expired for a month. And I wanted yogurt, and that was the only one in the refrigerator.
And what did you do?
I said, Carl, smell this.
There you go. I'm telling you, I'm so good at that. I can tell you if something is bad or something isn't. I just have to smell it. That's another ancestral gift that we have that we just forget about.
Some people don't have a great sense of smell, though.
And some people don't have a great sense of humor. I know. So I've been blessed with
but
both.
But you have both.
I know. How cool
You're
is that?
You're just a lucky guy.
Yeah.
So I ate it. It was fine. There was nothing wrong with it.
Of course. Of course. Two things that don't go bad. Okay, first of all, yogurt ferments. That's how they make yogurt. So theoretically, if you have it sealed in the refrigerator, it'll last for months past the sell-by date. And in fact, it'll probably have a higher concentration of probiotics over that period of time. Same thing with cottage cheese. People throw cottage cheese that's like, oh, it's 3 days old. It's like cottage cheese. I've had cottage cheese in my refrigerator when I was a bachelor again. It was closed. It hadn't been opened yet. It was a month old. I opened it up and I tore the thing. First of all, you observe it first. Any gas, any puffiness in anything? No. So nothing is going on in there. Opened it up and smelled it. I was like, it smells good. I ate the whole thing. Never got sick. So use your nose. That's how you determine if something's gone bad or not.
Or if it's stale, like if it's a dry food or something.
Yeah, and but especially look at the container before you open it. Did it puff up? Is it producing gas in there? Then you've got breakdown, right? You've got rot.
Well, then also if it has mold on it, you know that it's no good.
I don't know. If you're looking for penicillin, it might be really good.
So evidently the Grocery Manufacturers Association and the Food Marketing Institute are hoping to abolish current labels, including expires on and sell by.
I have a better solution, but go ahead. Let's hear what they want.
Well, the Grocery Manufacturers Association is the association that's spending millions upon millions of dollars to prevent GMO labeling. So I guess they have a problem with labels.
Look. Let's talk about what this means from...
So anyway, I got off the subject there. They're asking for two labels. One is best if used by a particular date, and then use by are the two labels that they're asking for.
I disagree. I think they should have a best if used by, which should be the about a month after the current sell-by date. And then they should take the current sell-by date and move it out by some amount based on the category of product, dairy and meat, you know, like some things go bad faster. Like eggs don't go bad very quick, okay? Meat may go bad if it's not frozen. But chances are you can move the meat sell-by date out by at least a week and still get by. So they need to look at these different categories of food, and they just need to loosen up what is considered the sell-by date. Make that the best-by date, and then move the sell-by date out some amount based on what we know about those categories of food and spoilage.
Best if used by is a label would probably go on most foods.
Right.
And used by on products that could become less safe as they age,
that's
such as
said.
Dairy products.
Well, no, believe it or not, milk, pasteurized milk goes bad quickly because it's been pasteurized, right? So raw milk doesn't spoil. It actually starts to turn into something called clobber, which the Danish people drink.
Clobber.
It's like a it's stuck in between kefir and milk.
C-L-O-B-B-E-R.
It's actually C-L-A, I think. Clabber.
Clabber.
You can still drink old raw milk and not get sick. It doesn't spoil like pasteurized raw milk. So dairy is a little tricky, but meat and fish, you know, you gotta either freeze them or cook them relatively quickly. I wouldn't fool with those, but some dairy you can get by with, and definitely like grain products. I mean, that's just silly. Like some of the products that they throw away, like bread. Bread, if it's stale, throw it away. If it's not stale, it's still good.
Feed it to the ducks.
There you go. Feed it to the ducks.
Last year, the USDA issued a guidance document that asked companies to voluntarily adopt one universal label, which would be best if used by. So some of the Natural Resources Defense Council has been pushing for this reform because they say it's going to help reduce food waste, which I agree.
But the other end of that is we don't want so what's in the best interest of industry? The best interest of industry is to push these dates way, way out so that because who absorbs the cost of spoiled food? It's not the grocery store. They get to send it back to the manufacturer if it sits on the shelf.
So
that's part of their deal. So the manufacturers are like, wow, if we even move that date out by 10%, we'd receive maybe X percent less food back. And that turns into profit. So we have to be careful about letting them dictate these things. And some organization needs to dictate it that has no vested interest and is not the FDA. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
some food safety experts say that spoiled foods, although they may be unpalatable, they're not particularly hazardous.
Yeah, that's my point. Exactly. Like when I was a kid in Brooklyn, the Spanish grocery stores, they were like these little, I mean, they weren't the grocery stores we think of today. They were like little stores, like they were like convenience stores with freezer cases in them, okay? They used to call them bodegas. They would have chicken in there that was starting to change colors a little bit, like get yellow, and it smelled, but it didn't smell sulfury. There's a big difference. When chicken goes bad, it starts to have a sulfur smell, but they smelled a little bit. And you know what? People used to buy that, make chicken soup and cook it, and it was fine. Nobody got sick and nobody died.
I don't think I would have bought that.
But back then, it was either that or driving all the way across town to the A&P. You know, we didn't have, you know, convenient grocery stores all over the place back
Remember
then.
Remember the A&P?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay, so while we're on the subject of foods, have you ever heard of a low-residue diet?
I'd be lying if I said I did. You told me about it.
This diet limits fiber from nuts, seeds, veggies, grains, and other sources.
Yeah, so it's a low-fiber diet.
And they say sometimes your sister needs your system.
I don't have a sister, like the little kid.
Sometimes your system needs a rest from fiber.
I actually agree with this. So here, I've been developing some theories, right, that date back to early conversations I had with a brilliant woman named Dr. Leslie Aiello, who ran the Wenner-Gren Foundation. I think she's retired now. When you look at our evolutionary journey and nutrition, when we started eating less fibrous foods, our guts got smaller and our brains got bigger. Now, everybody's like, oh, you got to eat 60 grams of fiber a day, 80 grams of fiber, our Paleolithic ancestors. You know what? I have this funny feeling, hopefully I'll be vindicated while I'm still alive, that we're going to come out in 20, 30, 40 years and go, all that fiber really wasn't a good thing, because it promoted small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. It promoted digestive issues, latency in digestion, and slow digestion motility. And now we realize you really only need 10 or 15 grams of fiber in your diet, which is what you get if you eat a whole food diet anyway, without going crazy on the high fiber foods, in order to have a beneficial effect on lipids and digestion and food motility. This nonsense, I know people that strive to eat 60 to 80, 100 grams of fiber a day. I'm thinking to myself, this is not right. We've evolved from that. We've evolved away from that. So that's my prediction about fiber.
So according to this diet, it says to choose foods where the label says 1 gram of fiber or less. Well, that means you're eating processed foods.
In most cases. Well, meat. So meat and dairy don't have fiber. Chicken and fish don't have fiber.
So for the veggies, it says just have them well cooked or canned. And I don't agree with that.
The canned part or the well cooked?
I don't agree with either. I think that you get more nutrients from either frozen or less cooked veggies.
Well, okay. If what happens in potatoes happens in veggies, if you cook them gently and then put them in the refrigerator overnight, you'll end up with more fiber.
Resistant starch.
Yeah, you end up with more fiber.
Right.
Right? Probably eating them fresh or lightly cooked and eating them right away is probably the best alternative. And then the other thing is, a lot of vegetables like spinach and kale, they don't have that much fiber when you look at it.
It says to skip the cooked peas, the winter squash, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, onions, cauliflower, and corn.
Yeah, skip the corn for sure.
Yeah. It says to pick your fruits wisely. High fiber options like figs, berries, and dried fruits are out. But you can eat bananas, cantaloupe, peaches, and pears. Prune juice. Say no to fiberific prune juice, it says.
Ew.
Have you ever had prune juice?
Yes, I have. I've drank it because it's very tasty. You know, I
mean, is it good?
A prune is just a dried plum. Do you like plums?
I do like plums.
Okay, so prunes are just
Like raisins.
Well, big raisins.
Big raisins, right.
But prunes are just dried plums, and they have a more concentrated sugary flavor. I would imagine that they have the same amount of fiber when they're plums as they do when they're prunes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've drank it, and I mean, if you have a small glass of it, it's not going to make you go to the bathroom. You got to drink a lot of it to go to the bathroom.
Animal products don't have fiber.
Yes, eat more meat.
There's no fiber in dairy, but it can upset your stomach. This is on WebMD. This is where this is coming from. There seems to be
anti-dairy movement.
Yeah, right, yeah. Now. We'll talk about dairy a little bit more later.
Yeah. There's been an anti-dairy movement for some time, with about the past, I'd say, 8 or 9 years now.
Go ahead and make that sandwich. Just make sure it isn't whole grain bread. Choose refined white options.
Yeah,
interesting.
This is exactly the antithesis of what everybody is told to do.
It gets even better. Listen to this. Satisfy your sweet tooth. There's no need to skip sweets. You can have desserts. Just pass on goodies that have nuts, coconut, cocoa powder, or dried fruits. Instead, have plain cakes and cookies.
Oh, my God.
Puddings and custards.
This is on WebMD?
Yes, this is on WebMD. Ice cream, ice pops, hard candy, clear jelly, honey, and syrups. Satisfy your sweet tooth.
Oh.
And just say no to pickles and olives and coconut and chocolate and beans.
I love
and,
olives.
Raw fruits and vegetables. Really?
This is so.
That's on WebMD.
But this is what happens, right? nutritional advice from the powers that be is like a pendulum. They say something stupid and absurd out here, and then we realize it wasn't right. So then they go all the way to the other side, and they say something stupid and absurd out here, and then we realize it wasn't right, and then they move towards the trying to find the middle all the time. You know what? Just avoid high-fiber foods, and don't take things like Metamucil to increase your fiber. You know, just back down on your fiber a little bit.
Well, so now that you invoked Metamucil, I know there are a lot of bodybuilders that use that because their diet doesn't have a lot of fiber in it.
A lot of bodybuilders use things like clenbuterol, which damages your heart. I wouldn't look to bodybuilders for...
I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying, too. I mean, bodybuilders do a lot of stupid things in the pursuit of muscle, you know? That's all. That's all I'm saying. It's like, I wouldn't look to them, but I would look to people who... are promoting more sensible diets. Like the paleo diet is very sensible. You know?
It's not a one size fits all. Not everybody not everybody wants to do the paleo diet because they like fruits or dairy.
Well, you can eat fruit on paleo, but you can't eat dairy except if you're an orthodox paleo, you can eat dairy.
And can you eat, what kind of fruits can you eat?
Oh, you can eat any kind of fruit you want on a paleo diet.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that fruit grew back then.
You tell, I've never done the paleo diet.
Well, you do more of a Mediterranean diet.
I do the Mediterranean. That's more my style.
Because you're a little
style.
Italian girl. That's
right. So do you want to take a break or?
Yeah, we have to take a break.
Okay. We'll stay with the subject coming out of the break.
Okay. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code GIFT30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping. When you enter offer code GIFT30, that's GIFT30. At AdamandEve.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it,
you'll gain with it.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. Okay. What do you want to talk about first? And I'm going to look this word up right now.
So I guess Gordon Waddell posted this about a Australian doctor who developed a diet that kills cancer cells and cures thousands of cancer
patients. So the first thing I got to say is this. Probably 2 years ago when I first had Dr. Dominic D'Agostino on the show, I posed this question to him. I said, cancer is evolving like everything else. Everything else in the world, cancer is no different. I said, how long do you think it'll take before cancer evolves to where it can actually thrive on ketones? I don't recall the answer, but he didn't give me a firm answer like, yeah, it's going to happen or anything like that. But in fact, it is happening. We now, there's a study that was published the other day, end of last year, that shows that certain cancer cell lines are now, they quote unquote rewiring themselves to utilize ketones as a source of energy. So here's the bottom line. There's lots of different things that probably can cure different types of cancers. Okay, but this guy's diet is really more about starvation than the juicing, okay? Because one thing we know for sure, and I think Andrew Scarborough, if he's listening, would agree with what I'm about to say. We do know that fasting mimicking, and starvation diets seem to work the best on the broadest types of cancers, okay? They produce ketones, they drop blood sugar, but they do other things that kill the cancers. And this guy's juicing diet, this is a forks over knives guy. This is a China study guy. This is an anti-protein guy. He doesn't get it. Different cancer cell lines can survive on glutamine. They can survive on glucose. They can survive on what's the other one I'm trying to think? Pyruvate. So cancer cells, different cancer cells have been found that survive on different substrates. There's never going to be a one size fits all things for cancer.
The Bruce diet, and that's BRUSS, is made to starve cancer cells, which eliminates them by not giving them solid food proteins.
See, it's, and he's all about, this guy is a forks over knives slash China study guy. This guy is, protein is what causes cancer. If you read the whole article, he states that it's proteins that cause cancer. That's not true. It's just not true. Sorry, I almost
Carl
knocked
got upset
I'm getting,
and knocked
I'm
his
getting
phone
fired
over.
Up here. I mean, it's I'm tired of this one size fits all stuff, and that's what people want to read, unfortunately.
So he includes these are all juiced: beet, carrot, celery, potato, and radish.
Yeah. And then you drink that.
And drink that for 42 days.
Yeah. So basically, you're a vegan. And protein is the reason you got cancer, and that's just not true.
And if you're not sick before, then you're sick after.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Not only will the cancer die, but other things in your body will die that you don't want to die. Now, he's an anti-protein guy. And protein does not cause cancer. I'm sorry to tell you, but that's the truth.
Well, and then again, I'll invoke bodybuilders again because...
they'd all have cancer.
Well, there was one particular who had colon cancer and thought that it was from the meat.
Yeah. But again, that if that was true, bodybuilders eat so much protein. I mean, I would say across the board, the average 220-pound bodybuilder eats 300 grams of protein a day. If, in fact, protein caused cancer, we actually have an uncontrolled study group right now out there called bodybuilders. They're taking drugs that theoretically should promote cancers, okay? And then on top of that, they're eating high-protein diets. They should at least 20% of them, 15% of them, some significant number, they should all be developing colon cancer, and a variety of different cancers. They're not. The cancers are being caused by inflammation, okay? Let's be truthful. Inflammation that's causing mitochondrial dysfunction. Mitochondrial dysfunction that causes mitochondria to go rogue, and not to sound like Sarah Palin, and then bingo, you've got a cancer. It's not about meat. It's just not. It's more about sugar, most likely, because sugar is pro-inflammatory. That's the reason that sugar leads to cancer. Then it also happens to be a great substrate for the cancer to survive on. Carbohydrates are the most pro-inflammatory foods we eat. When you look at the ketogenic diet, everything we eat is toxic to us, other than mother's milk.
Well, it depends on which carbs you're eating. If you're eating fruits and vegetables.
It doesn't matter. Carbohydrates, by and large, as a category, have a greater pro-inflammatory response than, say, animal protein and animal fats. It's a fact.
And you're not talking complex or simple carbs.
No, carbohydrate is going to cause, even if we're talking about fractional.
Even asparagus.
Yes. Yes. When you compare it to, when you look at the ketogenic diet, one of the first things that happens within the first couple of days of the ketogenic diet, the reason people lose water is because inflammation just bottoms out. Edema attracts fluid. It lets it go and you pee it all out.
Well, asparagus is supposedly a diuretic. So I have
don't confuse diuresis, which is a kidney function,
right,
to inflammation.
I'm not. But my point is that, I just don't think that it's, I mean, your body needs antioxidants, right? So you need fruits and vegetables. You don't necessarily need the sugar from the fruits. So you need like maybe berries or something.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't eat carbohydrates. I'm just saying as a food group, because don't misunderstand my statement. Inflammation is a very important process in our body.
Yes, it is.
You would not want to suppress all inflammation entirely because you wouldn't last very long. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But as a food group, as a food category, carbohydrates cause more inflammation through digestion and metabolism of them than other food groups, than fats or proteins. That's a fact. It's an undeniable fact. And scientists who follow the study metabolomics will tell you that's true. So this idea that the Bruce diet, we're going to get rid of proteins and that's going to keep you from getting cancer or kill it. It's not going to work for everybody. It'll work for some people because it's based on starvation, but not for everybody. So, okay, what's next?
So what about breakfast?
Yeah.
Do you think that we should skip breakfast? Do you think that breakfast is the most important meal of the day? Do you think we should have eggs and asparagus for breakfast. Actually, I do like asparagus with my eggs.
You like to make omelets with asparagus.
Well, I like, no, just regular, just a regular egg doesn't have to be an omelet.
And then asparagus on the side.
With a little asparagus on the side.
So I don't think you had a chance to listen to Dr. Zhang's interview yesterday about when you eat.
Meal timing.
Yeah. We talked about intermittent fasting, which he corrected me. He said, you know, the term intermittent fasting can mean fasting all day and eating at night. And so we went back to the ancestral mealtime pattern, you know. The truth of the matter is that industrialization has caused a lot of the problems we have today with our health. We stay up late to work the late shift at the UPS, flying across country. We have friends that do that. Makes you insulin resistant. This whole idea that you have to wake up in the morning and have breakfast, then you have to eat lunch, and then you have dinner, was created by Henry Ford.
Industrialization.
Before that, people didn't eat right out of bed. But now, because you had to get to work, you had to eat right out of bed. So I think this term breakfast has been around for hundreds of years. But think of the word. You're breaking a fast. So fasting has been part of human nutrition before we even knew what human nutrition was, right?
Right.
When you break your fast depends on when you are ready to break your fast. Not like, oh, you got to get out of bed and have breakfast before you run for the train. So is breakfast an important meal? Yes. Does it have to happen immediately within an hour of getting out of bed? Absolutely not.
Did you read the article that I put on Facebook yesterday? The title of the article is How Lobbyists Made Breakfast the Most Important Meal of the Day.
Now, was that the food industry or was that the industrialization of America?
Well, they're talking about both, basically, because in the 1800s, Americans had a farmer's breakfast because a lot of them were farming.
Right.
So they would eat. A hearty meal so that they could go work in the fields all day long.
And not eat probably 8 hours.
Exactly.
Right.
And they needed that breakfast.
Yes, right.
So they talked about that. But then they also talked about in the late 19th century, people began to worry about indigestion as the Industrial Revolution saw people move from farm labor to factories to offices. And they were still eating those big breakfasts.
And then going to work
and standing and sitting all day.
I get that part. They weren't using the calories, but we didn't have obesity back then. If that was true, what you just said that they are claiming.
Well, no, we didn't have obesity back then, but it was around that time that breakfast cereals came out.
Yeah.
To make it quicker so that because they didn't have time to make the eggs.
So
and the
here's,
bacon.
Here's, and that's the, this is a critical point, what you just said, right? So breakfast went from eating your first meal when it was appropriate for you to eat it, and you determined that based on who you are and what you did for a living, right?
Right.
To, I'm Henry Ford. I'm going to pay you to eat one meal. You got to eat your first meal and your last meal at home. That was the reason that breakfast had to be eaten first thing in the morning. You see? Henry Ford didn't want, because back then people ate breakfast. Some people ate at 10 o'clock, some at 11. You know, they were ready to eat their first meal. And Henry was like, no, you come to work at 8. You can have a lunch hour at 12. I'll pay you for that. I'm not paying you to eat your first meal and your last meal. I'll pay for the one in the middle because that is economical for my business. So you're going to have to eat your first meal before you come to work. People are like, wait a minute. I never eat that early in the morning. But now I have to. Ergo, indigestion.
Yes.
That's where the indigestion came from.
Right.
Because they were eating a meal before they were ready to, in most cases.
So I guess in the 1940s.
At least that's my theory. Okay. I just want to put this out there. I haven't read anybody else's literature that says what I just said. But that's my theory, and I've thought a lot about it.
In the 1940s, vitamins were discovered, and they started fortifying breakfast cereals with vitamins. And that's when breakfast, so these cereals had like every vitamin that you can think of, and that's when breakfast became the most important meal of the day.
Okay, so it was more important that meals be convenient, they be fast, so the average working guy could grab it on the go and show up at the line to start building cars.
Right.
So they thought, well, they're cooking eggs and bacon. That takes too much time. We'll make a breakfast cereal. But then they realized there's not enough nutrition in breakfast cereal. So then the fortification came in. And we have to fortify it.
And that's when women started entering the workforce mm-hmm. during the war. And they needed something that was quick and nutritious, not only for themselves, but for their children.
Yeah, because if you're going to work, you can't leave your kids at home. You got to get them to school. This is my point. Industrialization caused this pressure at the beginning of the day and the end of the day that is the reason for a lot of the diseases of modernity. We're seeing it today with shift workers. We can track all of these problems back to industrialization, really.
So it was a combination of fear of indigestion, religious moralization, and advertising that helped to push the idea of breakfast being the most important meal of the day.
And having it earlier and earlier.
But there was a campaign that really solidified this. A public relations expert who worked for the Beech Nut Company, his name was Edward Bernays.
Oh, yeah, we talked about him the other day.
He was the nephew of Sigmund Freud.
Right. Bernays. So Steve Parente and I are working on a project for Superhuman Radio. It's a video. And Steve told me the fascinating information about Bernays. Bernays is the father of subliminal marketing.
Well, and I find it so interesting that he's Sigmund Freud's
because he understood,
nephew.
He learned from Sigmund Freud the triggers of the average American mind, okay, or the average mind of any person. And he understood how to sculpt that into a message that would then get people to do things a certain way. And this is modern advertising today. So Bernays knew there were two things that were the most powerful controls to get someone to do something. And that was, guess what? Sex and death. If you had a product and could equate it to sex or death, more people would respond to it. And he understood how to put subliminal messaging into these campaigns where you were reading this, but what you were really thinking was that.
Is our Superhuman Radio going to point to sex or death?
Yes, we are. Unfortunately, yes.
Really?
Yeah, because look, I've talked about sex being the most important thing that a person can do to improve longevity and health.
Yes, you have.
Okay, I've been saying it forever, right? And we are combating death on this show all the time. Premature death from diseases, premature death from agencies that push stuff on us that we shouldn't have. So I don't have to mold my message. My message
is
that.
There.
Yeah, we
it's
just need
there.
To start using it the right way. Yeah.
So Bernays got a doctor to agree that a protein-rich heavy breakfast of bacon and eggs was healthier than a light breakfast. And then he sent the statement around to 5,000 doctors for their signatures. He then got newspapers to publish the results of his petition as if it were a scientific study. That brought bacon and eggs back into fashion and added more weight to the idea that breakfast was not only very important, but medically recommended.
Yeah. Okay. And he's the same guy that's behind the campaign. 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Camel cigarettes to their patients and smoke them themselves.
He's the same guy?
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting.
He worked for Big Tobacco back then. He's the guy who helped mold the whole Big Tobacco campaigns.
He was brilliant.
He was brilliant, but he was brilliant in a very sinister way. He could manipulate people to do things that were not in their best interest and think it was in their best interest. We are going to do things. We're going to use those same tactics to get people to do things that are in their best interest. You know, Tom Bilyeu was on the show the other day, and he told the story about the beginning of Quest. And the whole mission of Quest was, if we can make good foods taste as great as bad foods, people will eat them anyway, and lo and behold, they'll be doing themselves a big favor. Right. That was the growing mission at Quest. They've lived up to it. We have that same mission. If we can get people to listen to us, talk about these things and make better decisions for themselves that are in their best interest, as opposed to the mainstream that fills their heads with nonsense and misinformation that gets them to do things that are not in their best interest, then we are going to achieve our goal. But now we have to style the message differently than I have been in the past.
It's where you get your information from.
That is the new evolutionary selection pressure. It's not famine. It's not the ice age. It's where you get your information from. That will determine the outcome and health.
Well, if that kid Warren listens to our show, then he won't have that little tombstone that says, Warren, rest in peace.
At 100 years old. Exactly. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. Remember Paula Abdul? She was cute, wasn't she?
She still is.
Is she? I haven't seen her in a long time.
Yeah.
She never calls anymore. So anyway, okay. This is a really important subject to us. This is something near and dear to my heart.
Who, Paula Abdul?
No, dairy.
Oh, dairy. Okay. Dairy.
We're going to talk about dairy. I want to talk about this doctor. And quite frankly, everybody's acting like this is brand new. This Dr. Bernard, who's come out against cheese, he's been doing this since 2012. He gets no traction. He's another China study guy, right? The problem with dairy is casein. So go ahead, talk
about it. No, go ahead. I'm looking for that particular article.
So I'm looking for his full name. His name is Dr. Bernard, what's his first
name? Neil Bernard.
Yeah, so he's part of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, which is in and of itself, it's one of those joke names that's supposed to attract more people because they think there's not an agenda. There's an agenda. This guy's got an agenda. He claims that cheese is dairy crack. And he goes on to say, first of all, it's loaded with calories, high in sodium, packs more cholesterol than a steak, and sprinkled with hormones and antibiotics. If cheese were any worse, it would be Vaseline. He's an idiot. Vaseline is petroleum from the ground, okay? But I get it. He's trying to make these analogies to scare people, right? He said some foods are fattening, others are addictive, cheese is both. And he goes on to explain that casein interacts with the opioid receptor and makes you want to eat more. Do you know how many foods interact with the opioid receptor? The good doctor has forgotten that gluten has a greater affinity to the opioid receptor than casein, almost five times stronger stimulation of the opioid receptor. But he's going after cheese. So let's stay with this for a second.
Okay, so just full disclosure here. I was a little confused because there's a couple articles here that we have about milk.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was on NPR talking about his new book,
right,
which is the article that Matt sent me. But then he was also the same person that was the World Health, is that A4M? The A4M?
Yeah.
The A4M newsletter. He wrote an article for them stating the same thing about talking about how bad dairy is.
Yes.
For you.
So dairy,
I was just a little confused.
So first of all, from an evolutionary medicine perspective, which all of these goofball doctors just bypass completely, the fact that there's a large portion of the world population that is lactase persistent shows that they evolved using and consuming dairy. Okay? So that's, you can't argue that. So this idea that dairy is no good for everybody, once again, to coin an Elisa Profumo mantra, one size doesn't fit all.
Right. I said that during the
there
break.
There are definitely people out there who don't do well with dairy, but there are definitely people out there who thrive on dairy, number one. Number two, the good doctor forgets when we talk about dairy that conventionally produced dairy and raw unpasteurized dairy from grass-fed cows are vastly different things. So, and see, and why would the good doctor write a book like this, right? Number one, it's very popular right now to promote the vegan anti-protein agenda. He looks at the China study book and he goes, that book sold millions of copies. I'm going to go after cheese. Why am I going to go after cheese? Half of all Americans eat cheese daily. So if I wanted to sell a book, I would want to write about a topic that has a large audience. Well, 150 million people is a pretty friggin' large audience. So I'm going to write a book about something that those 150 million people are doing every day. So a large percentage of them go, wait a minute, I better read that book because I like cheese. Now, of course, he goes on to say that cheese is bad because dairy is bad, and cheese is just concentrated dairy.
Loaded with calories, it's high in sodium, packed with more cholesterol than steak, and you already said that it's worse than, he said it was worse than Vaseline.
Yeah, and he goes on to implicate casein. Well, casein is addictive, he says, because it's like a drug. It interacts with the opioid receptor. So does wheat. So does flaxseed. I mean, the list of foods.
Well, what about sugar? Sugar is supposedly more addictive than cocaine.
Because it also does the same thing. So my point is, the good doctor goes after dairy because it interacts with the opioid receptor, completely ignoring the fact that probably 15% of what we eat daily has some sort of drug-like effect on the brain.
He calls it dairy crack.
I know. So, of course, he's got to come up with these catchphrases that people go, oh, well, cheese is dairy crack when they're at a party.
Crack kills.
I'm not going to eat that. That's dairy crack. Really? Where'd you hear about, oh, Dr. Bernard's new book, you haven't read it? You eat cheese? Oh, you've got to read it. And he sells another copy. So let's examine the good doctor's theories here.
Dairy proteins appear to trigger inflammation, apparently by triggering the release of antibodies, which leads to the constriction of the tiny muscles in the airway.
He's wrong. So here's what he's wrong about. So whey protein, which naturally occurs in concert with dairy protein, doesn't do those things. In fact, it increases glutathione production in the liver, and it's been shown to actually control the inflammatory response, improve insulin response. So casein and whey happen together. Now, he is right that the whey is pulled out of cheese. I'll give him that. But let's just look at his theories here. It's high in calories. Andy Mant, who's been on the show and listens to the show, who's a big keto guy, posted something interesting on Twitter this morning. He said, if a calorie is a calorie, why don't we have fat alcoholics? Because think about it. Alcoholics probably consume 5,000 or 6,000 calories in the form of alcohol a day. They're not putting on any weight.
No, they're skinny.
So clearly a calorie isn't a calorie in that instance. Now, I did text a message him back and say, well, alcohol seems to promote the production of ketones. Could it be that? And he said, that's interesting, right? But it still disproves the good doctor's theory that a calorie is a calorie.
Okay, so listen to this. Bernard notes that vitamin D may play an important role in protecting us against some types of cancers. Citing prostate cancer, he suggests that because dairy products are high in calcium and calcium intake can slow down activation of vitamin D, cancer risks may increase with cheese eating.
No. So, he looks at prostate cancer. He's not paying attention to the new research because that would be too inconvenient for him. We're now seeing that testosterone levels actually control prostate cancer. We just had Dr. Deadmeat on the show. It's a fantastic study. If you haven't heard that show, listen to it. But let's go back to something else. Then he goes on and says that eating cheese is harmful and dangerous to people. Okay. So guess how much cheese the average French person eats a year?
How much?
57 pounds of cheese a year. Guess how much cheese the average European person in general eats?
How much?
42 pounds a year.
How much does a U.S. person?
I couldn't find that number, but those are the two populations that eat the most cheese on the planet. So clearly the U.S. is lower than them. So why doesn't the good Dr. Bernard's hypothesis play out in those two ultra healthy groups of people that we look to for answers about diet?
Well, and I said to you, maybe their cheese is different. Like maybe they have a higher quality cheese than what our cheese is.
But again, pasteurized milk, there definitely is some changes, but also more importantly, what you feed the animals. So if you're feeding animals grains and corn, and then you have to give them antibiotics, clearly that stuff passes into the milk and you're eating that. If they do that differently over there, but he's not saying that. He's saying casein is the problem and calories are the problem. So clearly he's wrong just on the face value of the two populations that eat the most cheese on the planet. We look to for the answers for a healthy diet.
I'm going to be in trouble because I eat yogurt and some cheese.
You are lactase persistent. I go back to this, okay? If you pay attention to evolutionary medicine, the fact that there's a portion of the population that's lactase persistent indicates that they will do well with dairy. The doctor is wrong, but he doesn't care about that because he's on an agenda to make protein a bad thing, promote a vegan approach to life, and sell a lot of books to a lot of people because a lot of people eat cheese.
Okay, so there's another guy here that says that cheese or dairy in general accelerates aging, that it's pro-inflammatory.
Again, some of the same arguments. Some of it is pro-inflammatory, some of it isn't. Go ahead.
That it causes allergic reactions in the gut, and that it's fattening.
Yeah, he's back to the cat. It's really the same argument. It's the same exact argument. These guys, if they would pay attention to evolutionary medicine, which most doctors don't, it's like if I wanted to become a Volvo repair guy and the year I went to school was 2015 and all they taught me about was 2015 forward. I never knew anything about the older Volvos. Why is this shaped like that? Why did we have that problem here and not over here? Then I don't have a clue on why these things happen the way they do. These doctors, they're so blinded by their own agendas that they're not paying attention to the fact that the presence of lactase, the lactase persistence gene in some people, shows unequivocally, they have no clue, unequivocally, that there are people who will thrive on dairy. Period. End of story. And I say that to the paleo people who go, dairy's bad for you. I said it to Dr. Lauren Cordain. Dr. Cordain, how do you explain lactase persistence? Well, you know, there is, and he said it, there is a portion of the population that probably does well, but by and large, they don't. No, it's individual. And all cheese is not bad. And if it's bad, why isn't it killing all the French and the Italians?
You can buy raw milk cheese.
We buy it, Kenny's.
Yeah, Kenny's, that's a local guy here, but also the Kerrygold, the Dubliner.
Yes, that's I love that cheese. Yeah, raw milk and grass-fed. The Kerry cheese is grass-fed, so it's really the good cheese.
You can buy that at Whole Foods and places like that, so it's accessible.
Don't throw your cheese away. These guys don't get it. I am sorry.
So this guy said that it made his mucus thick, and it made him, it's like he had a cold and flu all the time.
So he may be allergic to dairy, or he may be allergic to the stuff they're feeding the cows that are producing the milk. Let's not forget something. Gluten shows up in eggs and in dairy of chickens and cows that are fed grains. So he could have a gluten sensitivity, and he's blaming it on the milk. And the other thing is people they inappropriately think that thick saliva is mucus. It's not. Mucus is very different. It's produced by the mucus glands. If you have mucus buildup, you have an allergy to something, okay? And if you drink milk, your saliva gets thick for a little while because that's your saliva is actually breaking down some of the milk in your mouth. So these guys going right to the allergy thing, blaming milk, it may not be the milk. Have they tried raw unpasteurized milk from grass-fed cows? Do you have the same reaction? A lot of people don't. You are one of them.
No, because I can't drink milk. I can eat cheese and yogurt.
Right.
But when I drank raw milk, I was fine.
Cause if you drank a glass of store-bought milk, what would happen to you? Your stomach bothers you? You'd end up in the bathroom
upset.
For a while,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And how much raw milk did you drink these past summers when we got raw milk?
Quite a bit.
Did you have that same thing?
No.
Okay. That's my point to these guys. See? But you can't sell books by being honest and specific. You can only sell books if you tell the largest portion of the population, hey, you're doing this and it's bad for you. Then they're going to read your book.
No. So do you want to talk, when we come back from the break, talk about the raw milk while we're on the subject of dairy?
Yes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in BioSuperfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. BioSuperfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any BioSuperfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why BioSuperfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States. And are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. So, I couldn't find this. And I'm just going to say this, and then we can move on from cheese,
sure.
Right? Cheese consumption per capita, okay? Per person, per capita. Number one, France. Number two, Iceland. Number three, Finland. Number four, Germany. Number five, Estonia. Number six, Switzerland. Number seven, Italy, okay? U.S., the average American consumes 34 pounds of cheese a year. The highest is France with 57 pounds per person per year. And overall, Europe, 43 pounds per person per year. So just on the face value, the doctor's wrong. Completely wrong. He'd never sell a book overseas. They'd laugh at him. They'd go, he's stupid. So just keep that in mind before you give up cheese.
Okay, so I got an email from foodsafety.gov,
yeah.
And the email title is Raw Unpasteurized Milk. So it talks about questions and answers about raw milk. Can raw milk hurt me or my family? Yes.
Can pasteurized milk hurt me and my family?
Oh,
no. No, of course not.
Is raw milk a good source of beneficial bacteria? No.
It is, too.
Can I get a disease from raw milk? Yes.
See, this is, you know what? I can't even listen to this. You know why? Because this is a government agency that is defending an industry category. Again.
Okay, so my dairy farmer performs laboratory tests for bacteria in raw milk. So isn't it safe? Negative tests do not guarantee that raw milk is safe to drink. Milk that is safe one day may not be safe the next day.
So isn't that
so? How is that not true for pasteurized milk?
Right, because they test it for pathogens. Right, exactly.
So I Googled how many deaths per year for pasteurized milk, and everything that came up was about raw milk.
Yeah, because
there
was
nothing came up about pasteurized milk.
Because Google drives what is.
They drive what they want you to
yeah.
what they want you to read.
We saw that during the election. We know that. Yeah. Exactly.
So, but nothing about raw milk came up.
Right.
So I had to dig deeper, of course, and found stuff on the Weston A. Price Foundation
right.
website
and realmilk.com. And if you want to learn about raw milk, go to realmilk.com.
So, but it was just it's such a double standard.
It's horrible. It's about protecting an industry. So when Dr. Schmidt was on my show back in 2006 and talking about his book, The Untold Story of Milk. He said, milk represents a critical component of the grocery industry because it's the one thing people, because it's perishable, that they come to the grocery store every week to get more of. And while they're there, they get other things, right? They, oh, I have to pick up milk. I'll get these other things too. If you stop people from needing to go to the grocery store to get their milk, they'd actually find other sources for a lot of other things. The grocery industry doesn't like that. And so they protect pasteurized milk vehemently. Again, it's all about industry again. So if you go to realmilk.com, they have stories there that are legitimate. So the last death from raw milk was 1985. It was in California. And get a load of this. A small amount of raw milk was mixed with pasteurized milk and produced into cheese, and it sickened 63 people and killed one person. But of course, the raw milk got the blame for this problem. But meanwhile, fast forward year after year, people get sick every single year from drinking pasteurized milk. They get listeria, not supposed to be in there, it's pasteurized. They get salmonella, not supposed to be in there, it's pasteurized. And over the past years, no one's getting sick from raw milk. Any. There's a small number of people getting sick from raw milk compared to the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of gallons that are consumed every single month. But more people get sick from drinking pasteurized milk and pasteurized milk products. But you won't get that from the FDA. You won't hear that from the CDC. You just won't.
Was that the information that you got from Real Milk?
Real Milk. If you really want to know the truth about this, go to realmilk.com and look at the documents and look at the information they have there. And this is not nonsense, folks, because they would force them to take it down. They have accurate statistics about the times where listeria killed a number of people in California. 3,400 people were sickened in California about 6 years ago from pasteurized milk bought at a grocery store. Okay? So there is a war against raw milk because financially it's a very, very important component for the grocery industry.
So on the Weston A. Price website, according to a doctor who his name is Dr. Ted Beals, that more people are sickened by other foods like spinach and kale than raw milk.
Yeah, but you don't see annually. The CDC putting up a blog about eating kale being dangerous. You don't see them putting up a blog about eating peanuts being dangerous or spinach being dangerous.
A key figure that permits a calculation of raw milk illnesses on a per person basis comes from a 2007 CDC Food Net survey. They found that 3.04% of the population consumes raw milk, or that figure is 9.4 million people. That's based on
a lot of people.
2010 census.
Right.
And so actually that number now in 2011 is probably this
2017.
Article. Well, this article was a 2011 article, so it's larger.
Let's say it's 16 million people now. There's been an explosion of interest in raw milk in a lot of years because of autoimmune disorders and so on and so forth. People starting to get it.
Using government figures for foodborne illnesses for the entire population, Dr. Beals has shown that you're about 35,000 times more likely to get sick from other foods than you are from raw milk.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point. But the CDC doesn't have any blogs up about eating kale or
spinach.
Spinach.
Cantaloupe.
Cantaloupe.
Somebody ate cantaloupe and died a few years ago. Remember that?
Right. Yeah, it's because I'm telling you, it's because raw milk represents a huge industry. If people start buying milk from their farmers again, oh my God, the milk industry would collapse. It would collapse. You know what? If you haven't tried raw unpasteurized milk, go to realmilk.com and find the farmer close to you and try it. Make your own decisions about it. That's all.
Okay, so do you want to talk about breast implants?
I love breast implants.
You want to talk about those now or after the break?
Let's talk about them now. We'll go long and then we'll take one break and then, you know, we'll go from there.
Okay. So, I did not know that there is a disease called breast implant illness.
Yeah. It makes sense to me. And I told you already during the break why it makes sense.
Yeah. I knew that people have gotten sick from breast implants, but I didn't realize they had...
So
named the disease.
Breast implants are considered vanity, right? They're done for aesthetics. They're vanity driven. But hip replacements and knee replacements are something, oh, well, you need that. People get sick from their hip replacements and knee replacements all the time because of the materials that they're made out of.
Did you know that almost 300,000 women or 300,000 women and teenagers underwent surgery to have their breast
augmentation?
Mm-hmm.
When? And how, what period of time?
Last year.
In just 1 year. Good.
Yeah.
I think that's wonderful. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think if a woman feels that she would look better with breast implants, it's no different than a woman thinking she'd look better as a blonde.
That's up from in 1997, there were just over 101,000.
There's nothing wrong with it.
So 20 years.
So, okay. How do you develop an allergic reaction to something? You have to be introduced to it first. Okay. You don't have an allergic reaction to something the first time you use it or you're exposed to it. Children who have peanut allergies,
mm-hmm.
The parents go, I don't understand it. He had peanut butter sandwiches for the last 6 months. Now, all of a sudden, he's got a peanut allergy. Yes, because something has to be introduced over and over again. And then the immune system malfunctions and it says, uh-uh, and it goes after it.
What causes that malfunction?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I do think I know because I'm rereading
Missing Microbes.
So children who have developed peanut allergies have had at least one round of antibiotics, and every round of antibiotics that they've had increases their risk of developing a peanut allergy by 18%. So there's clearly a link. I'm reading this book again. If you are a pediatrician listening to the show or you know a pediatrician, you must read Missing Microbe before you prescribe, write another script for amoxicillin or Z-Pak or anything else. It's amazing. When you read this, and this is study after study, human studies, rodent studies, when you read this, you will be compelled to unclick your pen before you write a prescription for an antibiotic again, unless it's a life-threatening situation. Because what antibiotics are doing to children today
We talked about that last week.
The risk of the increased risk of autoimmune disease, the increased risk of asthma, the increased risk of a variety of different what's the word I wanted to use now, I'm kind of getting lost, but the bottom line is this: with every round of antibiotics a child undergoes, the probability of them developing things like asthma, rheumatoid arthritis, Crohn's disease, IBS, it just keeps going up and up and up. So there's clearly a linkage to it. I mean, it's undeniable.
Go ahead.
No. So you develop an allergic reaction to something after you've been exposed to it. So here's an interesting statistic. Latex and silicone, one is a natural rubber and the other one is a man-made rubber. They share very, very similar allergy patterns. Okay? Less than 1% of the general population, about 3 million people, is allergic to silicone. Ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Up to 70% of healthcare workers are allergic to silicone.
Is it because they're exposed to the latex all day?
Latex and silicone more so. Yeah, exactly. So the more exposure you have to these things, the more likely you are to develop an allergy to it. Well, now you take a woman and you put them in her chest and she wears them 365 days a year. And if she is going to develop an allergic reaction to them, bingo, it's going to happen.
Well, and I said this to you during the break, we have a friend that had an allergy test done and she used to eat 2 or 3 bananas a day. And one of her allergies was bananas.
Yeah, and she probably developed that allergy because she ate so many bananas.
So that
doesn't mean if you eat a certain food a lot, you're going to develop an allergy. But if you have the predisposition through your gut microbes to develop an allergy to that thing, it has to be introduced enough times for you to become allergic to it.
So next Tuesday, I just wanted to mention this real quick. We have a doctor coming on the show. He just did a study. It's called Yeast Found in Baby's Guts Increases the Risk of Asthma. He also wrote a book called Let Them Eat Dirt.
Yeah, geophagy. We've actually done shows on geophagy.
So I'm excited to hear.
So you want to hear something else from missing microbes?
What?
You know how everybody thinks H. pylori is bad?
Yes.
H. pylori protects children from developing asthma. Its presence in the gut has been shown to protect against the development of asthma. So this notion that H. pylori is only bad is not correct. And some people need some H. pylori because it protects them from other diseases. H. pylori only becomes a problem when it becomes out of balance with the rest of the gut microbes and yeasts and funguses and everything else.
Interesting.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Do we want to talk any more about the breast implants?
No, that's fine. There was a girl who they talked about on Yahoo that she was a former Playboy model and she got her breast removed because of having, rheumatoid arthritis type symptoms.
Sure.
And
she was allergic to silicone. She developed the allergic reaction probably a year or so after she had the implants put in. Her last name was Hefner. She must have been married to
Hefner. This is a different one.
Oh, okay.
She had thyroid and adrenal problems.
Yeah. She developed an allergic reaction to the silicone casing of her breast implants. Look, the kid who develops a peanut allergy, right? After eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for 6 months, and then all of a sudden he has a peanut allergy. Imagine if they implanted a peanut under his skin. He's going to develop that peanut allergy. People are going to, oh, my God, it's because of that peanut that's under your skin. We have to remove it right away. This doesn't shock me. It's very understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And chances are if you've had breast implants and you've lived with them for 4, 5, 6 years and you haven't developed any disorders, you're probably safe. You just don't have that predisposition to developing that particular allergic reaction. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Individuals and business. businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-0820. That's 800-616-0820. 800-616-0820.
Let me ask you a question. Are you getting enough? I bet you'd love more, right? Well, AdamandEve.com wants to give you more with 10 free gifts. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, a specially selected toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. So what do you have to do to get your 10 free gifts? It's not hard. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code GIFT30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts. Go check out AdamandEve.com today. Select one item and get 10 free gifts, including free shipping. When you enter offer code GIFT30, that's GIFT30. At AdamandEve.com.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach. Anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
Hey, this is Carl. I want to remind you of the importance of electrolytes. Because of all the workout supplements on the market today, I think electrolytes are the most important but the most overlooked. Check out the new Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme. It contains a broad spectrum of electrolytes plus a few extra minerals and vitamins. The lemon-lime flavor tastes great, and it comes in single-serving packets that make it easy for you to take on the go. Visit SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Jigsaw Electrolyte Supreme banner ad today and save 10% off your purchase.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-0514 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-0514 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-0514. That's 1-800-516-0514. Again, 1-800-516-0514.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Woo!
I used to like Whitney Houston. It's sad that she's gone.
Yes.
She was so cute when she was young, back in the 80s when I was in my 20s. She was so cute, and I thought, I mean, she had probably one of the, I know that we have a good friend who thinks Beyonce has like the greatest voice of all. I think Whitney Houston by far had one of the most beautiful voices, most versatile voices of any performer.
Oh, speaking of Beyonce, I don't think I read this one at the beginning of the show about Saturn.
Oh yeah, you did. one of the kids from the test.
The question was, why does Saturn have rings around it? And one of the kids wrote, because God liked it, so he put a ring on it.
And the teacher wrote,
Saturn is not a single lady.
That was kind of cute. Yeah, that was cute. That's the one that really made me laugh the hardest.
Yeah, that was funny. So, do you want to talk about, is chewing gum actually bad for you?
No, I don't.
As Carl took his gum out of his mouth.
Yeah. I love chewing gum. What am I going to do?
So, there are certain things that might cause you to feel some bloat, according to this article. Dairy does, beer does, but a stick of gum? According to a new study, a popular additive found in bread, candy, and gum is linked to a host of gut health issues. Titanium dioxide.
And all gum has titanium dioxide?
Well, you read the label and said that it didn't show.
No, it doesn't. And they have to put it on the label if it has titanium dioxide. I'm sorry. You said, oh, it doesn't have to be on the label. And then you defended your gum that you like, which is Spry.
Spry.
And it doesn't have titanium dioxide on the label. And I said, well, you said it doesn't have to be on the label. You just want me to stop chewing gum because I leave the wrappers everywhere.
So titanium dioxide, well, you also have, he's had gum in the dryer before on his clothes. And he had to throw the towels away.
I'm sorry.
Titanium dioxide is used in pigments in paints, cosmetics, toothpaste, pharmaceuticals, paper, and food. How can something that's okay to use in paint, okay to use in food also?
Yeah, I know. But I mean, they use water in paint, and we can drink water. So, I don't know. I don't think that's a strong argument.
Candies, sweets, and chewing gum have been found to contain the highest levels of titanium dioxide. White powdered donuts, candies, and gums with hard shells, products with white icing. They use it to make it like white.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anything white is fine. I wonder if flour has titanium dioxide. No, they bleach it. I take that back.
Bread, mayonnaise, yogurt. And other dairy
products.
If I have to stop chewing gum, you have to stop eating yogurt.
How do you like that? Oh, yeah. I'll give up my gum when you give up your yogurt.
Oh, the U.S. FDA allows manufacturers to use up to 1% of food-grade titanium dioxide without declaring it on the labels.
So it's in your yogurt and it's in my gum. Enjoy your yogurt later. I'm going to stop chewing my gum.
Are you?
It doesn't bloat me. I've never gotten bloated from chewing gum.
Well, but it's not the point of does it bloat you. It's the point of what are the titanium dioxide nanoparticles doing
to you? Well, but technically, I think the aspartame in my gum, it cancels out the titanium dioxide because the disease from the aspartame is worse. So, no, you're right. I have to stop chewing that stuff. You're right. Okay.
Okay, so animal studies, he wants to move on.
Oh, no, I don't.
Animal
I don't.
Studies have indicated significant accumulation of nanoparticles in the brain, while toxicity studies have shown the particles have negative effects on brain cell viability and function.
Wow, that's not good. Not good at all. Speaking of bloat, there's a national radio commercial that everyone has probably heard at least once for a probiotic called Newbiotics. Have you ever heard it?
No.
You listen to satellite radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're lucky. So there's it's a combination of enzymes and probiotics. It's just Lactobacillus acidophilus. It's nothing special. But the ads start out by going, are you fat? Well, maybe it's not fat. Maybe you're just bloated. Newbiotics can help you get lean, make your gut go away. I'm paraphrasing, right? So it promises to help you make your gut go away. And it says, if you lose too much weight, Just take it every other day instead of every day. And I'm thinking to myself, this has to be one of the slickest, slimiest radio commercials. If you lose too much weight, just take it every other day instead of every day. So the average idiot is listening to that and going, oh my God, it works so good that I have to worry about losing too much weight. I'm getting that stuff. And probiotics don't make fat go away. And if you're that bloated that your belly is like a balloon, I mean, that's a totally different thing. They're confusing weight loss with a distended stomach.
So isn't there like a yogurt, that Activa or whatever that is, that's supposed to make belly
bloat go away too? Yes. They're doing the same thing. But they're not saying...
Because of the probiotics.
Yeah, but they're not saying, oh, and by the way, if you lose too much weight, just eat your Activa every other day. That is one of those subliminal things where you're going, oh my God, it works so well that I could actually lose too much weight. Like, that's actually a worry. Oh my God. It's just smarmy and slimy. That's all. Anyway, I had to bring that up. Okay, what's next?
A high vitamin C improves immune function.
Why is this not necessarily a good idea? Think about this for a second. We've been talking about autoimmune diseases today. If you have an autoimmune disease, it means what? That your immune system is doing what? Attacking tissue in your body that it's not supposed to, right?
Right.
Boosting your immune system, if you have an autoimmune disorder, is kind of like giving all of the ammunition and money from your army to the army you're fighting and making them stronger so that they can kill all of your people. Boosting your immune system, if your immune system is attacking your body, means it's going to do a better job at attacking your body. So if you have, because think about it, what kind of drugs do they give people who have autoimmune disorders? Drugs that disable their immune system so that their rheumatoid arthritis goes away, so that these autoimmune disorders go away. So do you want to boost your immune system if you have an autoimmune disorder?
No, but for somebody who doesn't have autoimmune disorder.
I understand. But the problem is that people who have autoimmune disorders hear this kind of stuff like, oh, that's what I need. I need to strengthen my immune system.
Well, what's the total population that has autoimmune disorders?
Oh, gosh. Go ahead. You talk and I'll find out. How about that? Go
so ahead. Anyway, there was a study that just came out, and vitamin C is essential for the formation, we already know this, and maintenance of collagen and other structural materials in bones, teeth, and capillaries. So they did the study, and the team found that the high-dose vitamin C intake inhibited the age-related shrinking of the thymus and maintained thymic output.
That's good. That's really good.
These studies suggest that a long-term high-dose intake of vitamin C is effective in the maintenance of immune cells, partly through the suppression of age-related thymic involution.
Guess what else improves thymic function and size? A combination of growth hormone and DHEA. So Aaron Trawick, who's been on the show, he did the Super Soldier show. He's been working with a scientist who's come up with a protocol to actually regrow and improve function of the thymus as you age. And it's a combination of growth hormone and DHEA, two things that I take. Interesting, huh?
That is interesting.
Okay, so you said how many people have... 20% of the population has been reported to have an autoimmune disorder.
Wow.
50 million people and growing.
That's amazing.
Growing. They say that it's growing every single year. Women are more likely than men to have it. So if you have an autoimmune disorder, do not make your immune system stronger. It's just going to do more damage to your body. That's all. And if it's destroying...
Well, if you have an autoimmune disorder, you should be focused on finding out.
It's in your gut. If you have an autoimmune disorder, chances are you've had a lot of antibiotics. I'm sorry to say that. And I was laying there last night before bed reading. I'm just about finished the book. It's the second time I'm reading it. I've just read it with a different perspective this time, and I want to have Dr. Martin Blaser back on the show because I was thinking, wow, like we've all had antibiotics. And just after one round, the diversity in your gut goes down dramatically. And people who've had multiple rounds, they're the ones that are developing asthma, IBS, and everything else. How do you reinstitute that diversity? I got to believe it's geophagy. No one's doing enough research on geophagy. And that's why I'm so excited to have this doctor on the show next week about his book, Let Them Eat Dirt, and his study on asthma. Because I want to know, where should I be getting my dirt? I want to start eating dirt. I want to fix my immune system. I had a lot of antibiotics when I was a child. I was a C-section baby, another risk factor for developing autoimmune disorders, right? And I was raised in a household where my mother used Clorox on everything to sterilize it. So, I mean, I have like a lot of the risk factors for developing autoimmune disorders. Now, while I haven't developed them yet, I want to improve my immune system once and for all. Not make it stronger, but get it back on the right course. And that's where the magic in future medicine is, in my opinion. And it's probably in dirt, and it's probably in fecal pills, enterically coated fecal microbes, and all that kind of stuff. That's going to be the future, you see. What else do we have?
I have a question for you from Angela Penna.
Yes.
Do you have any info on nightshades and people that react to them? I've realized in the last couple of years I'm extremely sensitive to nightshades and was wondering if others are as well and if there was anything I could do to help counter it. It sucks giving up a lot of my favorite foods as I love any and all bell peppers. I can't do hardly any spice, tomatoes, peppers, etc. I wake up with extreme headaches the next day and a weird full feeling to my ear and sinuses.
Yeah, she's having an allergic reaction. So, I mean, the only information I could tell you is that there are people, and apparently, so when you do the elimination diet, one of the things they focus on is getting nightshades out of your diet. Tomatoes, eggplants, peppers, stuff like that. We can't forget that there are poisonous nightshades. Okay? So back in the day of the Borgias and stuff, nightshade, poisonous nightshade was actually used as a poison to kill people.
And what are they?
I don't remember what they are. Okay? But you could probably Google them and find out, poisonous nightshades. So nightshades are all in the same family. The ones that we quote-unquote eat just have lower concentrations of the harmful stuff than the ones that quote-unquote kill us. The truth of the matter is probably most people shouldn't be eating nightshades. But like dairy, some people have evolved to tolerate them better than others. I'm sorry to say, if you're one of those people who reacts to nightshades, you're just like the person who loves bread and pasta but finds out that they're gluten sensitive. They just can't eat it anymore. You just cannot eat it anymore. You just have to find workarounds, things that you like just as much that you still can't eat.
I didn't realize that a potato was a nightshade.
Yeah. Well, no. Is it?
It's what this article here says.
I didn't think that. I didn't think that was the nightshade.
Apples?
Seriously? Oh, man.
The apple seeds.
Oh, the apple seeds?
Yes.
Yeah. You shouldn't be eating them anyway because that's where the concentration of anti-nutrients are. Right?
You shouldn't be eating any seeds.
Yeah, no seeds. No, because that's the plant leaves, the plant fruits, that's okay. The seeds are where the genetic material is to carry on that species' life. So that is where the plant concentrates the most anti-nutrients. So yesterday we talked about licorice.
Right.
Pregnant women should not consume licorice. Okay? So I didn't say this on the show because we were running out of time. But from an evolutionary perspective, licorice is a highly evolved plant. So plants can't run, they can't fight, and they can't bite. So they have to find other ways to keep species that would otherwise prey on them from preying on them, right?
Right.
Okay. So they develop things like phytoestrogens, or in the case of nightshades, anti-nutrients that act like poisons and so on. Guess what licorice does specifically?
What?
It raises cortisol while increasing permeability of the placenta so the cortisol can get through to the baby. And the baby ends up with brain dysfunction, heart dysfunction, and other organ dysfunction. Now think about how intelligent this is from a plant source, right? So the plant doesn't want to be eaten. So through evolutionary selection pressure, it upregulates these things that seem to help protect it because they get eaten less, So they become the majority of the crops going forward. You follow how that works?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what the licorice does is any animal that eats it, human, dog, anything, it poisons your baby when you have a baby. So the babies are born stupid and dysfunctional. They don't live very long. They don't have babies. Your species is wiped off the planet. So the species, in response to that, learn not to eat the licorice. You see how that plays back and forth in evolution? We learn what not to eat. It kills us if we eat it, so we stop eating it. And the ones that are smart enough not to eat it, they have children. The ones that are stupid don't have children, so they're gone, and it's constant refinement of the process. So licorice specifically downregulates the enzyme responsible for creating the barrier between the mother and the fetus through the placenta that blockades cortisol from getting to the baby. It raises the baby's blood pressure in uterine. It destroys the brain. It destroys organs. I know that's a horrible thing, but like when you think about it, like millions of years of licorice evolution and its weapon is to destroy your offspring while they're in the womb.
I don't think I'd be planting licorice in my yard.
No, of course not. Of course not. Men can eat licorice a little bit, and women can eat licorice too, but pregnant women can't eat licorice.
Well, what if an animal that was like a dog that's pregnant?
It'll end up not having children. Maybe the puppies will die and then it won't have offspring. And then when it dies, its genes are gone. And that's the refinement of the evolutionary selection pressure. The species that adapts and understands and navigates around these things goes on, and the species that consumes them dies off.
Be careful, because there are medicinal herb licorice teas out there.
But see, as long as you're not pregnant.
Right.
As long as you're not pregnant, you can use licorice. Licorice has some medicinal benefits.
It is an anti-inflammatory property.
It's good for the gut. It's good for the adrenals. It's an adrenal tonic. It gives you energy. It can raise blood pressure. There are a lot of people out there who suffer from ultra-low blood pressure. Instead of taking a drug, they can just have some licorice every single day.
Some mild laxative.
I love licorice. I love the taste of it.
I don't like the taste of it.
But pregnant women should not be eating licorice. And licorice is used as a food additive for flavor, and it's also used as a sweetener enhancer. So you have to understand how to read labels to make sure there's no licorice in products that you're consuming.
So the moral of the story is to listen to yesterday's show.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, listen to SHR. And we are done. That's it for today, and we've got a great show starting out next week. We have some really good shows.
We do have some good shows next week, and we will be going to the Arnold next weekend.
Yes.
So we will not have a casual Friday on Friday.
But if you are going to be at the Arnold, message us on Facebook, and we'll see if we can't get together. We have like a superhuman get-together while we're there. How's that sound?
Okay. That sounds good.
And everybody have a great weekend. See you next week.
Bye.